Chapter 11. The Devil and the Pirates. During that night and the following morning, the Pequod had sailed into another of the fields of yellow which provide food for right whales. Ahab, as has been said before, was normally uninterested in hunting right whales, so we were surprised that day when the order was given to hunt for one. Not long after this, we saw tall spouts in the distance, and Stubbs and Flask's boats were lowered. As they rowed further and further away, it became hard to see them. But suddenly, we saw a huge mountain of white water rush up into the air, and the lookout on the main masthead called out that a whale must have been caught. Soon, we saw both boats moving very fast back toward the Pequod, being pulled by the whale they had harpooned. They were moving so fast that it seemed as if the whale was going to crash into the ship, but because of the skill of the crews, all was well, and the whale was killed. While Stubb and Flask were tying the whale to the Pequod, I heard them talking.
"I wonder why the old man wants this horrible thing," said Stubb. "Didn't you ever hear that a ship cannot sink if it has a sperm whale's head hanging on one side of her bow and a right whale's head on the other?" replied Flask.
"Why?"
asked Stubb, sounding confused.
"I don't know, but I heard Fadala saying that, and he seems to be superstitious about many things," said Flask.
Then he went on.
"I tell you, Stubb, I don't like that man."
"Nor me," said Stubb. "If I ever get a chance and I see him there near the bulwarks, I'll..."
Then he made a movement with his hands, as if he was pushing somebody over the side of the ship.
"Yes, I will. I think that Fadala is really the devil."
"Well, why does the old man spend so much time with him then?"
"It's because Ahab wants to hunt the white whale, isn't it?" replied Stubb. "The devil has come to make an agreement with him. If the old man gives himself to the devil forever, the devil will let him catch Moby Dick before he dies."
"Don't say such things," said Flask. "Fadala couldn't help Ahab to catch the whale like that, could he?"
"I don't know," said Stubb, "but I don't like him."
I soon found out that what Flask had suggested was true. The right whale's head was hung on the ship too, and the Pequod continued on her way with a whale's head hanging on each side of her bow. The next ship which we met was the Jungfrau, a German ship whose home port was Bremen. Her captain seemed to want to talk to the Pequod's captain so much that a boat was lowered when the Jungfrau was quite a distance away. As soon as the captain came on board, Ahab asked his usual question.
"Have you seen the white whale?"
The German captain told Ahab that he'd had no luck hunting whales, and that he had no knowledge of Moby Dick. We soon found out the reason why he wanted so much to speak to Ahab. There was no oil left on his ship to light the lamps. Once he was given some oil, he went on his way. The Pequod was now approaching the Straits of Sunda, the piece of water which separates Sumatra from Java. It was here that we would leave the Indian Ocean and enter the China Sea. And it was in these narrow straits that pirates often attacked passing ships and demanded money before they allowed the ships to go further. Ahab was planning to go through the straits, pass the Philippine Islands, and reach the far coast of Japan in time for the great whaling season there. As we sailed through the straits, we could see large numbers of whales ahead, and Ahab ordered all the Pequod sails to be set so that we could chase the whales as fast as possible. Suddenly, Tashtego shouted and pointed behind the ship.
"Pirates!"
So with the pirates chasing the Pequod and the Pequod chasing the whales, we rushed on into the China Sea. Ahab walked backward and forward along the deck, looking first over the bow of the ship and then over the stern. But he did not seem worried. The Pequod would escape the pirates, who were only driving him faster toward the whales and to Moby Dick.